Good morning. Welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt and Kyle Etherington here in studio. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. You can listen like you're doing now on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. You can also watch Inside the Huddle on HoosierLandTV.com. It's archived for later viewing as well. So if you want to go back and we had a guest in studio or your guests want to watch us here in studio, you can do that on HoosierLandTV.com. You can listen to all of our archived episodes on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab, and then you'll see the Inside the Huddle tab. It has all of our recent archived episodes. You can also find all of our episodes on Spotify now at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. So check us out on Spotify as well. We have a lot to talk about today, but let's get right into our first guest. And our first guest is Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Just woke up. Got to sleep in today. Great, thankfully. So
there you go.
Practice all week at 9 a.m.
That's awesome to hear. Well, Coach, your team was able to get through the first round of sectionals a couple of days ago against Clinton Central. You guys won that match 3-1. What did you see from your squad a couple of days ago?
I think I saw some resiliency. We came out slow, and Clinton Central came out hard and fast. They gave us their best shot, and they absolutely served the ball really well, placed the ball really well, and we were frazzled. We absolutely were. But the girls were able to pull through even after a set loss, which I feel like, again, last year we talked about was not our best mental year, and I feel like we have really turned the tables this year with that. And so after that second set loss, I saw them really come together and say, this is not the team that we are, this is not how we play, and we're not going to let people, come in and walk all over us. And so I saw that resiliency that I've been proud of time and time again.
Yeah, you guys were able to bounce back after that second set loss and take the next two sets to win it 3-1. You guys in the conference tournament, after winning the conference, sweeping through the conference, you guys lost to Eastern in the conference tournament. What did that loss do to your squad? Do you think it kind of fired them up again for this postseason run? And what did you see from your squad after that loss to Eastern?
Yeah, that loss was tough. It was definitely an eye-opener for things that we do need to work on. And so I think that was probably the best thing for us, was just making it clear that we still have things to work on. We've recognized throughout the season that we are a good team. We have a lot of great things to offer. We do a lot of great things really well. But there are always points for us to improve upon. It's a funny saying in our gym, we've improved, it's been better, but it can always be better, right? We can always be that 1% better. And so it was helpful, not fun by any means, but definitely helpful in recognizing, what our shortcomings are and where we can continue to grow.
Talking with Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood, and Coach, you guys are on to the second round of sectionals today and potential sectional championship tonight, but it's going to start with a match early this afternoon against Clinton Prairie, who will beat Frontier 3-1. What are you expecting from this Gopher squad today?
A lot of fight and a lot of fire. It's a county conference rivalry. It's been there for ages, and they're on their home court, right? And so we have a lot to overcome just in that mental space. But they are a scrappy team. Kathy and I talk often, and she's like, we are great. We are just young. And so we are prepared for that greatness to shine through for them, but we are also prepared for our greatness to shine through as well, so that we can hopefully continue to power through this sectional.
Coach, we oftentimes talk about football and basketball, hidden plays, secret plays, special plays, different strategies. In volleyball, what is the strategy going into a game where you've faced a very familiar opponent and they know a lot about you as well?
I like to tell my girls that we do what we do well, and when that doesn't work, then we switch to other things that we do well. we have to, we love to work in our comfort zone, and that's great. I mean, that does a lot for us. We are very consistent in what we do. But sometimes you have to change it up, and we are absolutely prepared after, having played them twice now, I believe, playing them a third time this season, that they are fully aware of what we do, and they've probably worked. If I know Kathy, you know, great coach who's produced great teams, she is absolutely preparing for, you know, everything that we do. And she's scouted us, and she's held her practices, and she's come up with this game plan to shut those things down. And if that works, then we have ways that we can pivot as well.
And one thing, especially with social media, the secret is most certainly out, as your team has been ranked consistently in the top five in 1A volleyball. And when it comes to your players, the statistics are pretty well known. One in particular that kind of stood out to me, Addie Gorbett, serving percentage in the high 90s. I think it was around 95-96%. Kind of talk about the importance of getting that serve in, but not just getting that serve in, but getting it in that right location to get a scrappy team on their back heels, so to speak.
Yeah, so one of the toughest skills to teach, and you can ask any college coach, is serving and blocking. And so my philosophy as a coach is serve and serve receive. Those are the two things that for small schools, those are the biggest determinants for whether or not you're going to win the match that you're in. So we focus a lot of our practices on serve and serve receive. We've spent most of our season trying to simplify everyone's serves. Everyone thinks that the best serve is always the hardest serve, but actually the best serve is the serve that you can control, the serve that you can place where you want it to go, because that keeps the team across the net out of system. And so that's been a huge emphasis for us, and I think it's really paid dividends throughout the season and hopefully into the postseason.
And it's interesting that you mentioned control, because there are a lot of times in volleyball, a lot of people who have not been to a volleyball match, game, sectional tournament, things like that. Number one, they need to make sure they're there today. I believe it's at 11 o'clock the game starts, correct?
That would be the first game, which is Bethesda and Carroll.
Excellent.
We follow right after that.
Excellent. Well, one thing in particular that I don't think a lot of people have really comprehended, they are starting to, is the use of the timeout. That kind of gives the coach a little bit of control, as much as you could. But kind of talk about how those timeouts work, because I think we're used to the football timeout and the basketball timeout, but the volleyball timeout's kind of becoming a much more known prospect, if you will.
Yeah, you're limited to two, which is unfortunate, 2%, because sometimes I feel like I could use seven. But that's okay. So it's a very delicate balance of, you know, when your team starts to get into one of those ruts, you always want to encourage them to be able to work it out themselves first. And so it's a delicate game of how many points do I let this continue before I step in and make that call. There is no set number of points. It's usually just how does this feel? Can I read my team? Can I read the room? But you usually use them to stop momentum for the other team. Because volleyball is such a momentum game, they often call it icing the server, just like you ice the kicker with a timeout in football. And they often call it a coach's point if you come back out and they miss that serve right off the bat. But, yeah, the timeout has been something that I've actually worked on from last season to this season. It was something that Nate and I talked about in my coach's eval. It's been a fun learning journey, I think, for me, and hopefully it's helped this season.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about what the day looks like for your squad. You guys have a match at 12:30, and it's always tough, I feel like, in situations like this, because it is win or go home in a state tournament, but you also have to be prepared to be able to play two matches today because of a potential sectional championship at 7 o'clock. So what is the message to your team in a situation like this where, hey, we have to put all of our focus onto this one match ahead of us, but we also have to be prepared to be able to play again tonight?
Yeah, so hopefully any good coach would prepare their team and give them the confidence that, you know, I think we're going to win and we're going to be here all day. And that's what I try to do with the girls. So we have been, you know, prepared all week to come back in the evening. They've got plans for in between and whatnot. But I always emphasize it is one game at a time. I don't ever want our girls to think they can walk through something. So, you know, thinking about having a game ahead, I don't want them to assume that they're going to walk into this Clinton Prairie game and walk out and not have to do anything to work for that. So we've adopted the phrase that we don't get to walk through, we have to fight through. And every single game from here on out is going to be a dogfight, and it's one game at a time. You know, it's survive in advance, it's win or go home, it's do or die. And so you focus on the one game, and you take whatever time you get after that game, if you do get that time, to prepare for the next. And, you know, for us, it's just we have to go out and play our best ball. We don't focus on the scoreboard. We don't focus on, you know, how many points we have to catch up to. We focus on the point that we are in, and we go from there. And if we play our best ball, then there is no doubt in my mind that we do get to win. And so that's been a fun little mindset change, because I feel like we've been so focused in the past on records, numbers, you know, making sure that we are just winning, when in reality, if we are focusing on always being the best version of ourselves, those wins come naturally. So that's kind of been our mindset since probably halfway through the season, I feel like, when we really focused in on that.
And when we had you on Inside the Huddle a few weeks ago, we talked a lot about, you know, the players that have really stepped up for this squad. For fans that maybe missed some of that, let's talk a little bit about the players that you really need to step up today in order for you guys to win a sectional championship.
That is tough, because I feel like we are such a complete team. I think in terms of stepping up, I think we all really just need to continue to play that role that we have adopted. Volleyball is such a role-specific game, you know, that, like, if you need to do this skill well and do it well for your team. I think Tori has done a really great job of running the offense, and I need her to continue to do that. She loves the challenge of you know, tricking the other side and finding the right hitter at the right time and placing that ball where it needs to go, you know, running the right set, running the right route. So I think that will be crucial. Offensively, I think hitters continue to just hit at that high clip and spread the ball out and vary their hits. You know, again, we talked about earlier how people have seen us multiple times. They know what we're great at, but we have other things that we can do, and so hopefully that shines through as well. And ultimately, volleyball is always a game of who can keep the ball off the floor the longest until somebody else makes a mistake. So defense has to be in that scrappy mindset of no ball hits the floor without my body hitting the floor after it. And that serve and serve receive, we've got to stay consistent. So hopefully those things continue to shine through today for us.
And Coach, best of luck on the game or games today, if you will, especially if you're going to be playing this evening. One thing for the younglings out there, when you're playing multiple matches or multiple games in a single day, what is the mindset as far as what to fill your body up with as far as food and liquids are concerned? Do we want any type of red pop? Are we wanting soda? Are we wanting sugar? What exactly, in your professional opinion, should the kids be ingesting as they eat and enjoy some college football in between games, hopefully, today?
That's funny that you mentioned that, because multiple times this season we've had comments about how much our team snacks on the sidelines. We always have snacks ready, just in case, you know, somebody comes off and they're like, I'm not feeling well, I need a boost, whatever. We have lots of good carb snacks, you know, Goldfish, pretzels, whatever, but we also have those snacks that give you some sugar. I think there's usually, like, Nerd Clusters and Sour Patch Kids. And then, of course, any kind of electrolyte that you can keep in there, Gatorade, Prime, whatever it is that you can find, those are our favorites. But to be completely honest, when you're in game, whatever keeps you going, we'll take it. I guess that's our answer.
Well, we'll definitely keep that in mind. And if you've got any Skittles with certain broadcasters being in the gym as well, please feel free to send them along also. But when it comes to volleyball, it's a family affair. Kind of talk about how your husband has been really influential and beneficial to this volleyball season, because the one game that we were at, the Clinton Prairie game on Hoosierland TV, he was running up and down doing almost as much work as part of the coaching staff as well. So kind of talk about the influence that he's provided, not just on the court, but also off the court as well this season.
I think he's probably everybody's favorite coach on staff, if I had to guess. He's never been a volleyball person prior to knowing me. His family is big into soccer. You know, sister played professionally, and so that's their fall sport. So this season, he has adopted the role of statistician, media specialist, and really gopher anything else that we might need. I mean, he kind of does it all. But he's a big numbers guy, loves Excel spreadsheets, and so when I introduced him to Huddle and Huddle Assist and all of the things that we can do with that and Max Preps, I mean, he just took it and ran, which is great, because that was something I probably wasn't the best at. And he has been able to, you know, keep track of everyone's stats adequately and accurately. And he's also been, you know, great with milestones and scouting, using other people's numbers and things like that. And he, I mean, he loves it, and he knows that I love it. And so it's been great to, you know, every day we come home after a game and we rewatch the game and make sure our stats are correct and go through things like that. So it's just been, I think it's been a really huge difference maker for me in keeping focused. Knowing that I have that support here at home as well.
Analytics is strong at Rossville, indeed, Sam.
This has been Coach Lexi Ellenwood with the Rossville volleyball team. They'll take on Clinton Prairie today at 12:30 at Clinton Prairie, the second round of sectional play. If they win that, they'll play again tonight at 7 o'clock in the sectional championship against the winner of Carroll and Bethesda Christian. Coach, we wish you good luck, and we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, guys. You have a great day.
Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood. That'll do it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with quarter number two. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
This is your WILO Fun Fair and Festival Guide, a look at upcoming fun family activities and community events.
Looking for fresh produce, handmade crafts, and one-of-a-kind treasures? Visit all of the vendors at Do It in Delphi City Market. Held the third Saturday of every month in Delphi from 10 to 2. Shop local, support small, and discover something unique every time. Follow Do It in Delphi on Facebook.
That's a look at your upcoming fun family activities and community events from WILO. Find more information about what's going on around town by going to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Despite overwhelming support from Democrats and Republicans, time is running out for Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which will keep AM radio in cars. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Your Saturday forecast, chance for much-needed rain showers and thunderstorms. We'll see a high of 81. Showers and thunderstorm chances continue into the overnight. We'll see a low of 48. Fall temperatures return Sunday. Early scattered showers, then becoming partly sunny and cooler, along with breezy conditions. A high of 59 with wind gusts up to 38 miles per hour. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County. DailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Wirt and Kyle Etherington, quarter number two of Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. Thanks for listening. You can also watch Inside the Huddle on HoosierlandTV.com. If you miss any part of today's show, you can listen to the Inside the Huddle replay Sundays at 7 o'clock or go to Clinton County Daily News, Boone County Daily News, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the Sports tab and click on the Inside the Huddle tab, and you'll find all of our recent episodes of Inside the Huddle also available to listen to on Spotify. Let's get to our next guest, and we shift our focus from volleyball to football, and we have Carroll football coach Blake Bester on the line. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, Coach. Your team suffered a loss yesterday to Sheridan 20-7. What did you see from your team yesterday's game?
Yeah, wasn't what we wanted, obviously. Didn't go as planned, but and we've talked about it, I mean, probably every week on this weekly talk, that if you lose the line of scrimmage, you lose the game. And And that's what we did last night. We lost line of scrimmage, and it was a lot of fun. So Sheridan's a really good football team. We know what Sheridan is. They're going to come in and just they're going to play 11 guys in the box, and you're going to have to win. And they were just were a little bit more physical and won line of scrimmage last night. So it's a pretty easy game of football when you don't win a line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it was. We were watching it in the booth of our game, watching that game, and it seemed like Sheridan was able to, you know, win the trenches, and as we've talked about all season, that's kind of the biggest part of the game is whoever wins the trenches. What did you see from your defense? Because it seemed like Sheridan was able to put a couple of scores up quickly, but then your defense was able to hold them to just one score in the second half. So what did you see from your defense in last night's game?
Well, I don't know what's kind of happened in the first quarters against Taylor. We're down 14-0 against Easter. We're down 14-0, and it kind of same thing kind of happened last night. They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. We moved the ball. We fumbled. So we only punted one time. And so I think when you go back and, you know, I didn't watch the film. You know, we've talked about just putting, you know, flushing this one and going on. But we punted one time last night. The rest of them were turnovers, or we turned over on downs inside the 15. So we left a lot of points off the board. And defensively, we just held on. They were more physical than us up front, and we had to bring people, and we just kind of held on that side of the ball. So I thought second half we made some adjustments to help us do that a little bit. But, just didn't play our best game. And I told my wife last night, you know, that was the game I felt like Pioneer. It was, you look up and like, what else could go wrong? You know, what else is going to go not in your favor tonight? And the great thing about it is we can prepare and change some things that last year against Pioneer, it was, you know, the season's over. So we told the boys last night, you know, I don't care what you film. You know, the preseason's over and it's time for postseason. Everybody's 0-0. It doesn't matter at all anymore. How good everybody gets the next few weeks is going to matter a lot.
Talking with Carroll football coach Blake Betster, and what does a loss like this at the end of the regular season do for your team going into the state tournament?
I think, you know, you don't ever want to say a loss is a good thing, but, you know, we're going to learn a lot from it. We're going to understand, again, we've hit it all year. The moment you lose the line of scrimmage, your season's over. I mean, any team that beats you in the line of scrimmage, your season's over. So if we win line of scrimmage every week, we're going to win a lot of games. So we're going to be able to reiterate that with a team that we thought we could handle the trenches in, and we just didn't get it done. So I think that's something that we're going to hit the kids all week. As soon as you lose that, it's over.
Coach, one thing in particular, and you kind of alluded to this and talked about this already, only one punt last night, but Sheridan from the opening kickoff was able to return it all the way to the house for a touchdown. Kind of talk about the role that special teams play in high school football, especially in 1A football, because I think that's a part of the game that is oftentimes overlooked. A lot of times it's about the big sack or the big throw downfield. Kind of talk about how your team has had to adjust with special teams, especially losing some very talented people on those special teams from last season.
Oh, it's huge. Special teams is huge, especially defensively, because, you know, we've had some really good punters, we've had some really good kickers, and teams are usually starting on the 20 and they got to go 80 yards. In high school football, going 80 yards is pretty tough. So, I think we reiterated this again that we have five seniors, and you know we're used to having anywhere between 15 and 25 seniors. So, and those seniors that don't get a lot of playing time on offense or defense were our special team stars. So now you're not relying on seniors to do that. You're relying on a lot of young kids, a lot of freshmen, sophomores to fill those spots while you're trying to get your older kids some rest. And it does. It changes things. It's an issue. And Windamac, we play Windamac this week. They had two returns for touchdowns on the kickoff return last night. So we're going to have to fix some problems. We're going to have to fix some issues on that side for sure. But, yeah, special teams, to me, I've always came in. We're a defensive team and we're a special teams team. Offense will come. But if we're not really good at those two aspects, we're going to struggle because, again, if they don't score, they don't win. And if they're returning kickoffs to their 40 every single time, we've got to play on that side of the ball. It's not a lot of fun in high school football. That's four down territory and, you know, you got four downs to get 10 yards. You're going to get them most of the time. So just changes the aspect. But you're right. Special teams is huge.
And granted, when it comes to Winamac, not exactly the most successful team as far as record is concerned compared with other teams in the sectional this season. And on your side of the bracket, not to look too far ahead, could set up a potential matchup with Taylor, which would be an amazing game to see live in person. But then you take a look at the opposite side of the bracket, Frontier and Pioneer. They're on the opposite side of the bracket. So kind of talk about your feelings, and how happy are you that Frontier and Pioneer get a little bit of a crack at each other before a possible sectional championship, if you're able to make it that far?
Yeah, I've always been one of those weird guys in sectionals. I could care less who we play. If they're supposed to be the best team, I don't mind playing them week one. Just find out where you're at. So we take every game. We put a lot more even into it than we do on a regular season. We're going to know every kid's name, all their weights. I mean, when postseason arrives, there's no tomorrow. So we definitely don't look past anybody, because the moment you do that, it's over. So we've got Winamac, you know, kind of in our eyes. And, I don't really care what happens to the rest of those teams until the next week, when hopefully we get an opportunity to play them. So we try to tell our kids, don't focus on anything but the task at hand, because as soon as you do, it's over.
And kind of like that line in the movie Hoosiers where the coach looks at the point guard and says, "Buddy, by the end of the game, think of chewing gum. I want to know what flavor he is." Kind of talk about that a little bit more, at least from the perspective of knowing these players, because Winamac, not exactly a team that Carroll plays on a consistent basis, and that's going to be a little bit of a trek up to their place, as that's how the sectional draw came out. So with Huddle and everything, we know that analytics are a big thing. How do you kind of prepare to figure out what flavor Winamac is looking forward to this week?
Well, obviously, we have a lot of connections with Winamac. Coach Hendricks coached here a couple of years. I helped them on the sidelines a couple of years. So we're very familiar with Winamac. They do a weightlifting contest with us. John Hendricks' brother is the offensive coordinator there. So we probably know them better than anybody in our sectional. So the knowing won't be an issue, but you know, that's not always a good thing. When you know somebody really well, they know what we like to do. We know what they like to do. So it's going to be an interesting night. It's going to be a fun night. That one came out. We're very familiar with each other.
And Sam, I think that would be something that the Wylo family could do at the Christmas party, get into a weightlifting contest just like that. Coach, do the coaches get in on that weightlifting contest? And could we film it?
Next year we'll do that. We'll have Hendricks' brothers just start lifting, you know, so you can bench more.
Excellent.
Medal or something.
Mark us down. I'll be there in my jumper. It sounds good.
It's awesome.
What can you tell us about Winamac and what you're expecting from, you know, their defense, from what type of offense they're going to run, and how you guys are going to prepare over the next week?
Yeah, they're very similar to us. I mean, obviously, you know, John was head coach here for multiple years, and they've kind of continued doing what he does. They're a wing T team. They're multiple on defense, kind of like we are. So I got a feeling what they'll do against us defensively, but I know what we'll see offensively. And you know, they got a really good quarterback. He can throw it. He can run. He's only a sophomore now, but he started as a freshman also, and he's really, really good. And you know, they've got a lot of Winamac's got big kids. It's kind of, they remind me a lot of Carroll, just the kind of kids they have and how they do stuff. So they'll be ready to play. It'll look like your mirror image of each other with the offense, and defense will be multiple, but they'll come to play, I'm sure.
And we talk about this a lot, and once you get to postseason play, you've gone through the entire regular season, your sophomores aren't sophomores anymore. They're juniors. Your juniors aren't juniors anymore. You know, they're seniors. So let's talk about that and that mindset, and kind of the guys that you are challenging this week in practice and ahead of this game. Like, we need you to step up this weekend. And who are some of those guys?
Every one of them. We talked to every one of them last night that, hey, if you want this thing to go, you can't stay where you're at. You got to get better. So I think that's the whole approach. And that's what I love about our kids. Our kids are coachable. And that's one thing I'm so thankful for as a coach. We don't have one. We can coach our kids. If we're getting on one about doing something, we don't get disrespect back. And if we did, I think the captains would take care of some of that, especially the younger kids. But we get our, you know, Travis Tinsman, you know, all the time. We're getting after Travis Tinsman all the time. And, you know, hey, you got to get better. You got to get better. I mean, he's a really good football player. Aiden Wiles, I talked to you last night. You know, hey, this is what you got to do. When they're playing defensively, this, you know, this formation, you got to get here. And we can coach them however we need to get them coached. And they do what they're supposed to do. So I think that's the piece that is not normal in some other areas I've been in, of just the coachability of these young men. They want to be great. They want to be better, and they'll do anything. And so it's a lot of fun to coach those kinds of kids. And we got a lot of them. We got five seniors that live by that. And you know, there's never a worry about what they're going to say if you try to correct a criticism. And we just don't have those issues. So I know they want to be great.
And you've had some really good football teams at Carroll over the last few years. What do you think the biggest difference is between those teams and the team you have now?
We talked again last night. The difference last night was having five seniors instead of, you know, 16 or 17 bodies to go in there and just battle. You know, the bodies are just different. Sophomore bodies are different than senior bodies. There's nothing you can, you know, nothing you can do but get older, you know. So we just, you know, I think they had 15, 14 seniors I counted on their thing. So, you know, I mean, they have 14, 18-year-olds that, you know, are winning these trenches. So I think a lot of that's just some of our issues of being young. But my first year, we were very similar. We lost three games in the regular season, and we had to bring a lot of sophomores into that. And by then, you know, we won a sectional against Prairie, and we got just a lot better every single week. So I think this group can do whatever it wants to do. I really do. We got a lot of talent. We got a lot of physical kids. We got to play from the beginning of the game.
That's been head coach Blake Betzner from Carroll Football. Coach, we appreciate you coming on, and we wish you good luck next week against Winamac.
Yeah, thank you guys for all you do.
Carroll Football coach Blake Betzner. That'll do it for quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. We'll be back with quarter number three coming up in just a second. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
One, two, three. Oh, hi, Jenny here. Just counting all the dollars I saved at my local Big Deals online store. What? You haven't saved yet? Get on it. You'll love the great selection of gift certificates at discount prices. They make great gifts, too. And you can shop right from your phone. Nothing satisfies like counting all those savings. Now let me get back to it. 6, 7, 8.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BoonCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Do you want to get more customers for your business? And what's the right media to buy? Don here, your small business marketing expert. If you advertise on the internet, are you getting sick of your internet ads being blocked by pesky ad blockers? You know, with radio, you never have to worry about your ad getting blocked by a browser extension. Also, are you fed up with the high costs of primetime TV advertising while viewers skip through your ads? With radio, you won't have to break the bank to reach a wide audience. And unlike newspapers' high cost, declining readership, and limited reach, radio is everywhere. Radio is the cool, ultimate, in-the-moment medium. We're like a best friend who's always there for you. So why settle for less? Call us today and start growing your business.
Hi, I'm Russ Casper with Casper Media. Promote your business with WILO, Boone 102.7, Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News. We love big deals and Hoosierland TV. Call me, Russ Casper, or station manager Cindy Lovelace, and we'll show you how we can help you build your business. Call 765-659-3338 or go to yesweelovelocal.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number three. Sam Word and Kyle Etherington, thanks for listening to Inside the Huddle. You can also watch Inside the Huddle at HoosierlandTV.com. Thanks for all of our people tuning in to HoosierlandTV.com. But you can listen to all of our archived episodes. You can do that on Spotify. Search up Inside the Huddle or Casper Media. Should be able to find us. If you can't, you can always look me up on Twitter and find all of our episodes as I share them throughout the week. But if you missed any of our episodes, you can do that, or you can do it on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab and click on the Inside the Huddle tab to find all of this season's archived episodes. And here in quarter number three, we're going to talk a little bit of everything as we have a little break before our next guest. But want to talk about some volleyball, some football, some cross country as their sectionals are kicking off today. So all of our cross country teams are hitting the courses today for sectionals. And you know, we talked with Clinton Central's Spencer Dunn and Jenny Dunn earlier this year, and they have a really good opportunity. They placed their boys team placed first at the Hoosier Heartland Conference meet last week, and so it will be fun to see how they perform today.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be very exciting. Not exactly a foregone conclusion about Spencer Dunn making it out of sectional, but I think his goals are much higher than just accomplishing a sectional good performance, if you will. I think state finals is definitely within his wheelhouse as well. So it'll be fun to see how the results turn out. And also for the girls, Clinton Prairie has really kind of shot out of the gates, and Rossville has really done very well this season as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the teams do, but especially the individual placements as well.
Yeah, last week at the Hoosier Heartland Conference race, Clinton Central won the boys team with a team score of 29, and how they calculate that team score is just whatever you place, that's how many points you get. So if you place first, you get 1 point, and obviously then the lowest score is the winner. So
opposite of my golf score. Got it. Duly noted.
Clinton Central finished with 29, Rossville second at 45, Delphi right behind them at 47, and Eastern at 101. On the girls' side, Carroll narrowly defeats Clinton Prairie 28-32. So Carroll wins the girls' Hoosier Heartland Conference, and Clinton Prairie comes in second. Rossville behind them in third with 60. And you have to have five runners to be able to qualify for the team race. So the other teams in the Hoosier Heartland, they have some cross-country teams. They don't have the full team to be able to qualify for that team score. But then in the boys' race, Spencer Dunn finished in first. Leo Hernandez of Delphi finished in second. Carter Klein of Clinton Central in third. And in the girls' race, Riley Hayden from Carroll in first. Sadie Welliver from Clinton Prairie in second. And Miranda Mendoza from Delphi in third.
Excellent job to all of our runners. And one thing that we always want to highlight is how well they do, but also to encourage any youngins out there, if you are not doing anything during the fall season, thinking again to next year, it's never too early to think about that. Make sure that you come out for the cross country team. Even if you have a lot of experience or no experience in running, it's going to get you in shape for whatever sports that you might be interested in. And when you're talking to college coaches, they don't just want one particular athlete just doing one sport. They want multiple sport athletes. That's what they always do. And when it comes to your overall health and lack of injuries, that's usually the best way to go about it too. So best of luck to all of those runners today, and get those low scores both in time but also in team scores too.
Let's talk a little football. We talked with Carroll head coach Blake Betzner. His team lost to Sheridan yesterday 20-7 on our Hoosierland TV game of the week. We had Eastern versus Clinton Prairie, and we'll talk to Kurt Schlicker coming up in quarter number four. Eastern was able to come out with that one 25-8. A surprising upset, Delphi over Taylor on senior night. The Delphi Oracles able to take down the Taylor Titans 35-21. The first win for Delphi in Hoosier Heartland Conference play. Kind of surprised by that outcome.
And I think right out of the gates, I think the opening series and the opening sequence is a perfect example of that, as Delphi got the opening kickoff. Not that they won the toss or anything, but they performed an onside kick. It worked to perfection. And then they were able to score a touchdown and add an extra point. So when you're fired up and ready to go like that on senior night, it was also pink out night at Berto. I have a feeling that there might have been a few people in the stands that were screaming and yelling, cowbells being rung, and horns and fireworks going off as well. So a wild time up north at Delphi last night with the Taylor Titans.
Yeah, scores from the Monon Athletic Conference. Frankfort fell to Crawfordsville 49-12. Frankfort got the bye in their sectional, and they're going to most likely play a really tough Lebanon team. Lebanon lost to Harrison last night, 26-7, just the second loss of the year. Snapped a big winning streak for the Tigers. So Harrison comes out with a victory over Lebanon. And then Cascade continues to roll in the Monon Athletic Conference. They beat Western Boone 56-7. Cascade wins the Monon. But, man, Cascade is one of the best 3A teams you're going to see.
Absolutely. They're very solid. They definitely have their eyes on Lucas Oil and making sure that they're able to place their jersey in that wonderful display that the Colts have. Every single state champion for football gets their team's helmet and their team's jersey in a special locker in the hallways of Lucas Oil Stadium for the entire year. And you've got the number of concerts that go on there. You've got the number of WWE matches that go on there. And, of course, we got the Final Four. So Cascade most certainly wants to make sure that people see that jersey all year long in Lucas Oil Stadium. They're a pretty solid team.
It's time now to get to our college football picks of the week, and I'm rocking with my Notre Dame jersey. That's not the game we're picking, but
yes,
I'm rocking with my Notre Dame shirt today. I had a listener ask, you know, who dressed you this morning? Because what is this outfit here?
I noticed that, and honestly, I think that is just utterly despicable for anybody to use any type of sign or any type of shirt to communicate anything whatsoever. I just, you know, just absolutely despicable. For those of you that are listening in, I am holding up a Colts towel toward the cameras on Hoosierland TV right now as well. So all said in great sarcasm. I'm rooting for my favorite university today, Monsters University, for those tuning in as well, too. So I want to say that a man and a lady named Mickey and Minnie were the ones who dressed me today. So
there we go. Well, let's pick our college football game of the day, and it is Georgia and Ole Miss.
Ooh.
We'll actually do two picks today because I have another game that I want to pick from as well that I think is a real toss-up. But I'll let you take the first pick on this one.
I'm going to go with Ernie Johnson's favorite, the Georgia Bulldogs, today. I believe that they are the visitors.
They're at home, but they
they're at home today,
and they are favored. Ole Miss is number 5, Georgia number 9.
Okay. Yeah, I got to go with Georgia. Ernie Johnson has never led me wrong when it comes to Georgia. I picked against them earlier in the season. I'm not going to make that same mistake twice. So, Sam, it'd probably be a good idea to pick the other team in this one.
Well, last week, Ole Miss against Washington State won by 3. And I don't know if you know anything about Washington State, but they're not very good at football.
That darn flag is out at College Game Day every single Saturday. I know that one, definitely.
So I don't believe a lot about this Ole Miss team, so I'm going to also go with the Georgia Bulldogs to get it done today. Our other game we're going to pick from, the Holy War, the Utah Utes taking on BYU, and I am going to go with the Utes in this one.
You're going with the Utes?
On the road.
One?
Yeah, BYU is ranked a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
They are undefeated, but I'm going to take Utah.
Man, oh man. I love the University of Utah right down the road from Salt Lake City. If you ever get an opportunity, take a wonderful little road trip out to Salt Lake City, visit the mountains, go skiing, listen to the Tabernacle Choir as well. Just a beautiful location, and that's why I'm going to take BYU today.
There we go. Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but before we wrap up quarter number three, your Hoosiers got it done against Oregon, probably the best win of college football this year, but they got it done against Oregon, and they're going to play against Michigan State today. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish will play their rivalry game against USC. It's supposed to be a hurricane in South Bend tonight. We're expecting a monsoon to hit the Irish-USC game tonight. And, you know, USC's been trying to get out of this rivalry because they keep getting their butts whooped by Notre Dame. And I think this might be the, you know, final nail in the coffin, because they have to come up to South Bend and get poured on while also getting a little bit of Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price running down their throat.
Well, and plus, every single time Notre Dame busts out those green jerseys, you know that it's going to spell trouble for USC. Even if Matt Leinart's on the other side. And, you know, I have issues with that matchup just because that was a huge, huge rivalry back when I was growing up, especially when Snoop Dogg is on the sidelines. But when it comes to the Indiana Hoosiers, man, as an IU fan who has experienced the highs and the lows and everything in between, I'm just happy that the Hoosiers are bowl eligible. and I mean this in all seriousness. That was... If IU was bowl eligible, that was always considered to be a good season in my house. So everything is just icing on the cake. Got Kurt Cignetti signed, sealed, delivered, and Bloomington is going to be home sweet home for him for hopefully many, many years to come, through at least 2033 as well, because I believe he'll be in his 70s then. And I don't think he's looking forward to retirement then, because Nick Saban was talking it the other day about how he went to the national championship when he was in the 70s. So who knew that IU would be ranked in the top five in the entire country? As a Hoosier fan, it's just icing on the cake for me.
There we go. Well, that'll do it for quarter number three. We'll be right back with quarter number four. We're going to talk to Clinton Prairie football coach Kurt Schlicker when we come back on Inside the Huddle. Now on Inside the Huddle, a little bit of a music scheduling error, so we'll get that figured out, but we want to remind you, Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. We thank our wonderful sponsors, Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. Let's get to our quarter number four guest, and it is football coach Kurt Schlicker. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Let's talk about your game last night, 25-8. Loss against Eastern. It's kind of another one of those games where you guys had a lot of opportunities to punch the ball in. You guys took the lead in that first half, 8-6. You took a lead into the halftime break. Let's start with the first half and what you saw from your team, because you were able to hold Eastern to just the one score, and they missed the extra point, and then you're able to take a lead to halftime.
Well, you know, early in the game, I thought our defense really played well last night. Really, you take away the one long run that they had, I thought our defense pretty well dominated that first half, which was great to see. Our run defense last night was held up very well. And, you know, when you can stop the other team's run, that certainly gives you an advantage, right? You put them in passing situations. And then we had some really good pass rush last night. But really like to compliment our defensive line. I thought they played well last night. Jackson Wells, Hunter Cooper, and Andrew King did a nice job up front for us. And then our linebackers last night, I thought Kyson Habenga, as always, plays very well. But we also had good games at Alex King and Ryder Mitchell. And then Braden Jarbo has done a really nice job as a linebacker this year for us. I don't think he's probably got enough credit for that. And then defensively, you know, our defensive backs, Kai Jacobs, Jackson Price, Trenton Kaser, and Luke Harshberg, I thought all really played well in the first half. You know, on offense, we do this every week. We're a block away, right? We're a step away from being able to maybe do a little bit more than we did. But, you know, we were able to take the lead at the half. You know, we almost had a pick six, which would have been a huge play. Went right through our hands. But, you know, we were obviously pleased with the way we had played in the first half last night.
And then Eastern got the opening kickoff, and it was a good kick. It bounced around to the 25-yard line. Looked like your coverage team was set up well, but one of their receivers was able to make a couple of guys missed. And then, man, some of the speed that Eastern has on the outside and some of those receivers was really impressive to watch last night. And they were able to take the opening half kickoff back to the end zone for a 75-yard kick return for the touchdown. They took the lead and kind of held on to it from there. What did that play do to you guys, and what was the message right after that play to try to get your team back in it mentally?
Well, you know, you watch Eastern on film. They are the king of big plays. They have some real speed. I think you definitely saw that last night out on the perimeter. And he did. He made, you know, it was a good kick. We almost, by the ball bouncing around, which you see occasionally, our coverage got a little bit. Once he made the first guy miss, we were a little bit out of position, and, you know, we didn't quite finish that off. And, you know, those kick returns are, when they go against you, are really impactful to the game. I mean, you can look at the Carroll Sheridan game last night, right? Sheridan returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Well, that's a big play. You know, it turns the tide. It gives a lot of momentum. You know, and we were able to move the ball there to start in the second half, but then we had a couple of just minor mistakes, right, that forced us to have to punt. You know, I thought our kids responded pretty well from that. We just didn't, you know, when you're playing against good football teams, you got to find ways to finish drives, right? You got to score. You got to answer a score with the score. And I think that's the, you know, that's just the message from last night. We weren't able to do that. But I thought our defense overall, even in the second half, I thought played very well.
And you talked about it being the big play from Eastern. I think there was probably three plays that really turned the tide of this game, and it was their first touchdown. It was a kind of a screen pass, and their guy was able to make a man miss in open space and take it for 58 yards. It was a kickoff return, and then it was a play later on in the second half where on defense you guys looked like you had a for sure big sack on the play, and their quarterback Gibson Eagle was able to shimmy his way out of pressure and ran it down the field for a 30-yard gain to set up a score later on in that drive. Man, what did you see from that quarterback?
Well, he did have a couple of very big runs in the second half. He did. We had him once, the 3rd and 11 early there in the second half, kind of pinned on their end, and they ran a little bootleg. And we took one too many steps inside on the backside. It was a nicely designed play. But his two runs, I thought he had two runs in the second half. That really changed kind of the complexion of the game, because both those runs, you know, let them out of a situation where they were going to have to punt the ball back to us. So, you know, you've got to give that kid credit. A lot of that was some individual effort right there. We knew that going into the game that the quarterback was a capable runner. You know, we've seen that now for about three straight weeks, right, where the quarterback is really the biggest threat almost to run the ball. And sometimes those quarterbacks are hard to contain. That's why you see in college a lot of teams use those running quarterbacks. There's just a risk, right, when you run your quarterback of them being injured. But, you know, they were able to execute those plays last night. And, you know, their defense, they're very strong up front. Their D-line was good. And their defense has some speed, too, right? If you got speed on offense, you're going to have speed on defense. And they were able to track us down. And we just didn't quite, you know, we got the one big play to Kai. But other than that, right, we were close, but we just couldn't get that next big play.
Yeah, the touchdown for Clinton Prairie coming on a 20-yard pass from Brady Allen to Kai Jacobs, who made a fantastic catch in the back of the end zone. And it looked like, if I watched the replay a little bit, it looked like Brady Allen saw him open, and his feet got a little jumpy, and he kind of almost made a Tim Tebow jump pass, but Kai Jacobs was able to come back down with it in the corner of the end zone for that score. And We've talked about the quarterback play a lot this season. What did you see from both Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmix last night?
There were some real positive plays, no question. I thought Brady, he was injured and sacked once last night, and that impacted him, right? He didn't play much in the second half, and it definitely impacted his ability to throw. But I thought Brady threw the ball well last night. And Gage, you know, he had a nice scramble play early in the game, was able to get out of some trouble and made a nice throw over the middle to Trenton Kaser, made a really nice catch. So, you know, they both had some positive moments. You know, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback or Saturday morning quarterback and coulda, shoulda, wouldas and this and that, right? There's some plays there, obviously, that, you know, you're hoping for just better execution overall. But it's, you know, and it's rarely just one player. I always say when things break down, it's rarely one player. You know, it is a team game. You know, there are individual plays within a team game, right, that can make a difference. So, you know, our lack of execution here and there isn't just on our quarterback. You know, we missed a couple of assignments up front. We had some good moments last night where we did get some really good pass protection. And a couple times we're one block away on a couple of those runs from really being able to pop it. But we just weren't able to get that block done. And, you know, we've dealt with a little bit of just like everybody does, right? We've had some changeover on our offensive line from injuries, this and that. You know, we have missed Andrew Thatcher the last couple of weeks, right? He hasn't played. We did get Hunter Cooper back, but we still didn't really run Hunter last night. I'm sure you noticed that. I think, what, he had one carry?
Mm-hmm.
That ankle's still not quite right, so we were still kind of protective of that ankle last night. You know, we obviously like to get him back at 100%. I think that'll help our running game a little bit. And, you know, just a matter of, you know, one thing about getting a bye week, hopefully that'll get all these little injuries healed up. It obviously will help the opponent. Like Sheridan will be able to do the same thing. But, you know, that's what you want, right? You want both teams healthy when you go into the tournament, and we should be.
And going into the tournament, Coach, one thing that I noticed, especially in the first half at Prairie, was there was juice in the building. There was an energy flowing throughout the crowd, and it had a playoff atmosphere. It had a state tournament atmosphere. How does that get your guys fired up in terms of just a regular season game having that type of atmosphere and that type of excitement? Because, as you said, there were some very big plays, but there were also some very, very close plays last night, and the crowd was phenomenal from our standpoint last night.
We've been blessed to have great crowd support, right? It was youth night last night. And, you know, we lost a home game earlier this year. We lost the game, right, but we lost a home game. And so, you know, we've been blessed with good weather, I think, this year. I think most people would agree with that the weather's on Friday nights this year has just been amazing. For, you know, week 9 last night to have that temperature and that kind of that feel to it, that certainly helped bring the crowd out. Our crowd's done a great job. You know, I give our kids a lot of credit. You know, just like anything, you know, when you win, right, the positive, you know, it's easy to stay positive, and that when you lose, you got to battle, you got to fight, you got to scratch, you got to claw. You know, I thought our boys were really ready to play last night, and I give them a lot of credit for that. Right, it's a game that, you know, if you really look back, you're thinking you already know who your sectional opponent is, and I'm saying it's not easy to look past, but you know, sometimes you want to look ahead, and you know, our boys certainly didn't do that last night. They were ready to play. And we certainly we gave them a run for their money. And, you know, obviously we're a little disappointed in the outcome because, right, you play every game with the sole purpose to, you know, get that victory. And, you know, I feel bad that we weren't able to do that for our fans and really for our kids. I know they were disappointed last night, but there certainly were a lot of positives. And, you know, we're hoping to get that same kind of crowd support even better here in a couple of weeks when we play Sheridan.
Well, when we were taking a look at the sunset, seeing that just beautiful red sunset, red night, sailor's delight, you know, red morning, sailors take warning in many cases. But on the field, the CP was painted black. A lot of the players were in their finery full of black. But in terms of the field, a lot of coaches have different pregame rituals. My dad liked to go to Dairy Queen. I don't want to talk to anybody. It's like, don't even look at me. Just get away from me before a game. I got there early, and I was enjoying my food because we had talked about McDonald's way so much on Party Line this week that I had to get some McDonald's French fries. And I saw you loading up the gator and taking out the equipment to the field. Is that kind of your pregame ritual where you just kind of go about your thinking, your business, or is that out of necessity because someone needed you to do that last night?
Well, I would say that the normal Friday is, I would have some help with that. Kind of for me, I know my pregame. When we have a home game, I always stay and paint the field the night before, the hash marks. I always say it's, you look back and, you think about how long you've done this. Red started coaching in 1992. That does age me a little bit here. But, to appreciate the game. Yeah, I know. Just to appreciate the game. Really, you get out there on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, and I paint those individual hash marks and things like that. And you realize how lucky you are to still, like for me, just to even be a part of this. I've been blessed. We love our players. We love our kids. Every year you just get the kids every year. It's an honor to coach them. Every team's different, though, and you learn about your team as you go. And I think we've learned a lot about our team this year. And I still think there's room for improvement. I think you see improvement at times. We're a better football team now in some aspects than we were early in the season. There's no question about that. And, we have dealt with some injuries here and there that have impacted our season, just like most teams do. And so our goal right now is our boys are excited when they saw the draw, because in the end, you have no control over the draw. So you should be excited no matter what draw you get. And our boys certainly were. Because we know, right, that to win the sectional, you got to beat everybody. Whatever game gets drawn is the team you got to beat. And everybody has, a shot at that game. And, for us, we're extremely happy that we drew a home game. I would always say, if you ever ask me what I want when I draw, you'd always prefer the home game. There's no question about that. And we got that. So we feel lucky with that. And, but that pregame ritual stuff, it's hard to have because, sometimes you have to get on a bus and you ride the bus. Sometimes that bus trip's an hour and a half. Sometimes it's 20 minutes. It's more about hopefully the kids are prepped. And I thought last night our kids were really ready to go.
And I tell you, on those bus trips, a good nap, that hour and a half bus trip gets a lot shorter. I'm just going to point that out to you, Coach.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's no doubt about that. And, we've had a pretty good schedule this year in terms. We had a lot of road early. And we knew that, but here, we've had a couple home games the last couple weeks, and here we drew a home game. So, generally that stuff, I always said, kind of evens out. I told the players, like, early in the year, we've had to buckle up and ride the bus quite a bit, but it kind of evens out. And so, we were able to get that home game, and we've not played as well at home this year, I think, as we would have liked, but our schedule, it's just kind of the way the schedule fell to have to play these games, a couple of these teams at home. But we want to give our fans something to cheer about, and I know we're excited about the opportunity here in 2 weeks.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that game before we wrap up here on Inside the Huddle. Talking with head coach Kurt Schlicker from Clinton Prairie. You guys will play Sheridan in a couple of weeks. You guys both get the bye. Of course, there's just five teams in your sectionals because of Irvington and Tri-Central dropping. So you guys get the bye. You guys played Sheridan earlier in this year. And what we've talked about all year with your squad is, we win or we learn about our team. So what have you learned over the past few weeks since you played Sheridan about your team? And what do you guys need to do differently to come out with a different result against Sheridan?
Well, I think the first time we played Sheridan, the physicality of the game, I think, hit us quick. Obviously, to beat Sheridan, you've got to control their run game. I'm not telling you they can't pass because surely they can. And they do, but, you've got to be able to control the run game. And, you don't want to lose the turnover battle against Sheridan. Carroll lost the turnover battle last night against Sheridan, and that, that makes it tough. So, obviously, you want to be able to control their run game to some extent. And, Sheridan's defense has been really solid. You watch them on film. They've had some really, really positive games, not just against us, right? Carroll doesn't score till late in the game last night. They did a pretty good job against the Taylor quarterback. So Sheridan defensively is solid. You just can't beat yourself, right? You've got to find ways to minimize negative plays and not give up big plays. I think you kind of watch our whole season here. If you can minimize the opponent's big plays and not turn the ball over, we have a chance to beat anybody, and that's kind of the way we feel. So we head into this time right here, right? We've got to minimize the big plays that we've given up, and we've got to do as much as we can to win that turnover battle, right? Sometimes the fumbles are going to happen, right? A hit happens, the ball gets knocked loose. Nobody's ever purposely fumbling. But then you've got to create those turnovers on your side, and I think that's going to be a key to the game here in a couple weeks.
Well, we look forward to being there to cover that game on the radio on WILO. We'll have coverage of that game. We'll have coverage of the Clinton Central versus Cloverdale game next week right back here on WILO. So stay tuned for that. And, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on, and we wish you good luck in a couple of weeks against Sheridan.
Well, you guys, your coverage is just amazing, and we appreciate it. And, you know, we've enjoyed just having you guys cover us all year. It's been an enjoyable season, but, you know, now is when it has mattered, but now is when it, you know, it's for all the marbles now. So here we go.
Absolutely. That's head coach Kurt Schlicker with Clinton Prairie Football. We'll have coverage of them in a couple of weeks against Sheridan. That'll do it for Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen tomorrow on the Inside the Huddle replay at 7 o'clock on Spotify or on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt. Saying so long, everybody.